We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
This is Keeping the Faith, a weekly discussion about issues of faith, spirituality, religion, and ethics. Now here's your host, Steve Shoemaker.
We're talking today on Keeping the Faith with Chris Vellillo, who is, well, Chris, what exactly are you? You're a singer, you're a performer, you're a composer. Tell us about yourself.
I guess you would call me a singer-songwriter, folk singer, folklorist. I've been playing music for my living for a little over 30 years now. My particular muse has always been the rural Midwest. I've always been attracted to the small towns of rural Illinois and this area of the country. So sort of a lot of different things all rolled into one, I guess you might say.
And today we're specifically talking about a recent CD of yours that has music that deals with Abraham Lincoln. Tell us about that.
Well, that's a CD titled Abraham Lincoln in Song, and it was the music from a one-man show that I created beginning around 2005 as a way to use music, period music from Abraham Lincoln's lifetime that I could directly associate with him as a way to tell his life story. I have been involved collecting and documenting old music here in Illinois for many years, and have come to believe that old songs are just a tremendous window into the past. I think they can connect an audience with a time period in a way that just reading about it in a book really can't. And so I wanted to try and use music as a way to do that with Abraham Lincoln.
Let's give listeners a very quick introduction to how the music that you've studied and found can give insights into a time and a period and the kind of ethical issues that people were wrestling with at that time. Let's hear a cut called Illinois, and tell us about that before we hear it.
Okay. Illinois is a very early song. If you listen to the lyrics, it almost sounds like an advertisement for this young, robust, amazing new land, this new Garden of Eden that the pioneers spoke of when they talked about Illinois, and you can really hear the exuberance of this young new nation.
Now why do you spell it on your CD Illinois?
That is actually the spelling used in the title of the song, and I think it represents the phonetic spelling of Illinois, which would have been very typical in that era. You know, most folks really didn't read and write very well, if at all. And so Illinois could very easily have been written that way. That's just a guess on my part, of course.
And so Abraham Lincoln, as a reader and writer, was an unusual man for his time.
He certainly was. You know, reading and knowledge was a great passion of Lincoln's. And certainly that was one of the things that would help forge him and direct him to become the man he would ultimately be. But even from his earliest days, he had a real thirst for knowledge and a great desire to read anything he could get his hands on. I remember one quote of Lincoln's where he said, "My best friend is the man who can give me a book I haven't read before."
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, let's listen to Illinois.
Way down upon the Wabash, such a land was never known. If Adam had crossed over it, why, this land he'd surely own. He'd say, "This is the garden he lived in when he was a boy," and he'd straightway pronounce it Eden in the state of Illinois. So move your families westward, bring all your girls and boys, and cross the Shawnee Ferry to the state of Illinois. Why, it was here that the Queen of Sheba came with Solomon of old. Wagon loads of spices, pomegranates, and fine gold. Ah, but when she saw this lovely land, why, her heart was filled with such joy. Straightway said she, I'd like to be the Queen of Illinois. So move your families westward, good health you will enjoy, and rise to wealth and honor in the state of Illinois. By the Wabash, Mississippi, and the lakes. There's milk sick in her rolling hills, and in her swamps there's snakes. Ah, but these are slight diversions that take not from all of the joys of living in this garden spot called the state of Illinois. So move your families westward, bring all your girls and boys, and cross Shawnee Ferry to the state of Illinois. So move your families westward, good health you will enjoy, and rise to wealth and honor in the state of Illinois.
We're talking live with the singer of that song, Chris Vallillo, by phone, and that's from a cut, number three, from his CD, Abraham Lincoln in Song, taken from his one-man show. And Chris, tell us some more about this particular song. It has aspects of a tall tale with reference to the Queen of Sheba wanting to be the Queen of Illinois, but it also has elements that are so important to the life of Abraham Lincoln, such as milk sickness. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, now that's a very intriguing point. First of all, the country was going through a remarkable period, this incredible burst of growth of a young nation, and you see a lot of things from that time using biblical analogies, talking about the country and referring to it as this new Garden of Eden and such. So you see a lot of biblical references in many things during the time. And, of course, as I mentioned before, the song really kind of captures that exuberance. But, of course, the reality of coming into a wild new land is that you deal with a lot of hardship, even though they talk about a land that's just flowing with milk and honey. It's a wilderness. The milk sick that the song refers to was a very common disease that many of the early pioneers faced. And it was a poisoning that you got by drinking milk from a cow that had eaten a local weed called snake root. Now, the early pioneers had no idea where this sickness came from. Many of them thought it was bad air or some other undefined ailment, but it was actually contracted by just drinking milk. Ironically enough, Abraham Lincoln's mother, Nancy Hanks Lincoln, would die from this very disease when he was 9 years old, living in southern Indiana. And, of course, it was a devastating thing for a young boy to lose his mother, especially in that terrible situation, in the Indiana wilderness.
This program is heard, of course, not only in Illinois, but also in Indiana. And here in the Midwest, it was rather swampy until they brought in engineers to drain the swamps and then give us this rich soil that we find throughout this part of the Midwest. You talk about, however, there were snakes in that swamp.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Not just snake root plants, but real snakes.
Many, many real snakes. I know even I'm in the west central part of Illinois, and when you get over to the Mississippi River bluffs, the limestone cliffs, there's timber rattlers around this area. I'm sure there's a similar selection of interesting snakes all over eastern Illinois as well. I suspect maybe copperheads in the swampy areas and
sure.
such. Yeah. Life was very difficult in that age. You know, we take for granted such a level of comfort that the earliest pioneers just simply did not have. They say that the first year that the Lincoln family moved into Indiana, and I believe Lincoln would have been about 7 years old then, that for the entire first winter, they had only been able to get three walls of the cabin built up. So they had a completely exposed fourth wall, and they just had a big bonfire going there all winter long to keep the bears and animals away and to keep, you know, the family as warm as they could. So it was a very, very difficult way of life.
Let me reintroduce our guest for today. We're talking with Chris Vellillo, who is a singer, songwriter, composer. Tell us how this song came to be, Illinois.
I believe it was, I don't have any real documentation on the very origins of it. As near as I have been able to find, it dates back to the 1820s or 30s. I came across it through the music collecting of Carl Sandburg.
Uh-huh.
Now, most folks know Sandburg as you know, one of Illinois' great poets. He was also a huge folk music fan and did a great deal of music collecting himself and has a wonderful collection of songs called The American Song Bag. It's a book he published, and there are many, many wonderful old folk songs in there and anecdotes about the songs themselves. So that was where I first came across the song, and then I have heard it from many other performers along the way. The great folk singer Art Thieme used to do this song quite a bit as well.
And, of course, Carl Sandburg's writings are archived here at the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign.
I had no idea about that.
Yeah, very.
Wow.
Very
I do know that John Philip Sousa's works are archived there as well, so that's yet another jewel in the crown there.
Well, it's possible I'm mistaken, but I think that's right in my memory. We may get a call correcting me, but I think that's correct. Let me give the phone numbers so people can correct me if when I make mistakes or ask a question or make a comment for our guest, Chris Vellillo. In Champaign-Urbana, the number is 333-9455, which will get you into our studio. And our engineer here will answer the phone, and Kyle will then put you in line to be on the air. If it's a long-distance call, there is a 800 number that's toll-free, 1-800-222-9455. We're eager to have people join the conversation here with Chris Vellillo. Let's talk about another song from this Abraham Lincoln in Song collection that you've put together. I was privileged to hear you perform many of these in person here in Urbana a while ago. Dan Perino had arranged that for a very good program at Clark Lindsay Village that I was able to attend. But tell us a little about Shawneetown.
Oh, Shawneetown is a wonderful song, and it's one of my very favorites. And it's a song I use a lot when I do work in schools. It's an old flatboater's work song. Now, to give you a little of the backstory here, flatboats were the most common type of a boat on the Mississippi River just prior to the age of the steamboats. So these would have been hand-powered boats. They were rectangular boats, maybe 20 by 60. They would make these boats out of frequently out of nothing more than rough-cut logs lashed together to make a deck with a little wall around them. They might have a tent on one end, and they would steer it with a big, long pole that would come off of the back that would act as a crude rudder of sorts. They call that the beach oar, and you'll hear that phrase in the song. And then they would power them with muscle power. So they would line up men on the edges of these boats with long sapling poles. Then they would drive the poles in the mud of the river bottom and pull the boat forward. And, of course, to do that effectively, you needed to work together as a team. And one of the ways that music was used back in the earliest days of Illinois was as work songs. So they would sing these songs and get this working rhythm and then simply pull the boat in the rhythm of the song they would sing. So this is one of the songs that was actually used to coordinate labor as they worked these old flatboats. Now, interestingly enough, Abraham Lincoln worked on a flatboat when he lived in Indiana, and then when he first moved to Illinois. So he took two trips going down the Ohio and the Mississippi rivers, going all the way down to New Orleans, Louisiana. the thing I love about this song is that if you listen to the lyrics, it gives you a tremendous amount of information about the kinds of cargo that they did, they carried, the nature of the boats, the work that they had to do and such. They talk about poling the boat down, upstream and floating downstream. They talk about bushwhacking, which is actually an old term that would refer to going upstream by going very close to the edge of the river and then grabbing overhanging branches and pulling
yourself up.
Yeah.
Chris, we're going to hear Shawneetown, but we're going to postpone it just a few minutes because we have three callers waiting. Let's go to line number four. You're on the air with our guest, Chris Vallillo. Go ahead.
Hey, Chris. Hi. It's Kathy from Pontiac. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Good. It's really good to hear you on this show. Could you say something or do something about maybe some of the spirituals or the Sunday morning stuff people would do to get together?
Oh, well, certainly. I mean, music was a huge part of religion back in those days as well. And, of course, Abraham Lincoln, while he was not a formally religious man, was a very spiritual man. He just didn't take to formalized religion all that well.
He never joined a church, but he did attend with his wife very regularly, both in Springfield and in Washington.
Yes, yes, indeed. And if you listen to the words that he talks about in his great speeches, he is constantly referring to the hand of God guiding him and such. So it was clearly an important part of Lincoln's life. In early Illinois development, though, church and church music was a very big part of all social activity. There was a very big movement beginning to go through the country where there was a big rebirth of religious movement happening. I believe they called it the Great Awakening. So this would have been a very active thing. I don't really have a great deal of information about the particular songs that they would have sung in those days, but I know that it was a very big part of life. And even popular music, a lot of it was very religiously themed.
And we thank you for that question. We have two more callers waiting. Let's go to line number three. This is Rantoul.
Hello. Yes, that was beautifully sung, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
I'm looking forward to your next song. My question is, so this song you sung is 150 years old, something like that,
mm-hmm.
or older, and how did you sing it in a modern style, or would they have sung a song like that very differently or with different inflections or something way back when? I'll hang up and listen. Thanks
for the call.
Excellent question. One of the decisions I had to make when I put together this recording was to try and figure out how far I was going to take it in terms of its authenticity. And I decided that what I was going to do was try to emulate historic sounds and historic instrumentation, but I wasn't going to make it a museum piece. In all likelihood, it would have been less melodic than I sing it. I've heard a number of different variations on the melody. I think that I'm doing a version largely influenced by what Art Theme did, which was one of the people I heard first to do this song. But a lot of the earlier music tended to be much more, if you're familiar with like the Appalachian style of singing, more atonal and less melodic.
And of course, without recordings from that period, it's a lot of it was just handed on from voice to voice.
In many instances, it was indeed. I'm not aware of any written music for this song until Carl Sandburg documented it.
Uh-huh. Chris, we have a caller waiting on our line from Atlanta, Georgia. I want to get to very quickly, but tell us quickly, if people want to get a copy of this CD, what's the best way to do it?
Easiest way to do it is go to my website, and the easiest way to remember the website address is just lincolninsong.com, all lowercase, all one word.
lincolninsong.com.
And
let's go to our caller on line number two from Atlanta, Georgia.
Hi, Steve and Chris. This is Laura.
Hi.
I just wanted to say it was quite a trip down memory lane hearing you sing Illinois, and I'm desperately trying to remember where I first heard it and sang it, but I believe my daughter's first grade class learned that when they were learning about different states in Bloomington, Indiana.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, and another personal note, that same daughter was baptized 25 years ago in May by Steve Shoemaker, who also married my husband and I 27 years ago.
I'm so pleased you're listening online. Thank you.
Well, I'm so excited. I saw it on Facebook from one of my friends in Illinois, and I'm just delighted to hear your voice again, Steve, and enjoying your guest as well.
Well, thank you very much for the call. Certainly appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm delighted to hear from somebody from Atlanta, Georgia. How exciting.
Well, as you know, this program is podcast. It can be heard on live on computer at will.illinois.edu around the world. And we can only accept toll-free calls from the continental U.S. at our 800 number, 800-222-9455. Some people will call us at the other line, the local line, 217-333-9455, if they have free calling from their end. So we're happy to have calls from people wherever they're listening.
Wow. Pretty amazing when you think about what a difference that is from the time of Lincoln, when all music was live and it went as far as your voice could carry you.
And people had to develop strong voices then if they wanted to be heard very far.
Oh, absolutely.
Let's listen to Shawneetown about the flatboats.
Well, some pulls up, but we float down. The Ohio to Shawneetown, and it's hard on the beach, or she moves too slow. Way down to Shawneetown on the Ohio. Well, it's hot in the summer, boys. The air is thick and dank. That darn old fog so heavy that I cannot see the bank. And it's hard on the beach, or she moves too slow. Way down to Shawneetown on the Ohio. Now the current's got her, boys. We'll take up some slack. We'll float her down to Shawneetown, then we'll bushwhack her back. And it's hard on the beach, or she moves too slow. Way down to Shawneetown on the Ohio. Now I got a wife in Louisville and one in New Orleans. And when I get to Shawneetown, I'm gonna see my Indian queen. And it's hard on the beach, or she moves too slow. Way down to Shawneetown on the Ohio. Yes, it's hard on the beach, or she moves too slow. Way down to Shawneetown on the Ohio.
We've just heard Shawneetown, performed by Chris Valillo. from his CD, Abraham Lincoln in Song, which you can find at abrahamlincolninsong.com. When you do your one-man show, Chris, which, as I mentioned, I was privileged to see, you performed several instruments. And tell us about what the instruments were of the time of Abraham Lincoln.
Now, in Abraham Lincoln's day, you had a number of instruments that were fairly common and fairly inexpensive, one of which I use in the show, an instrument a lot of folks know by the name the jaw harp or the Jew's harp. Interestingly enough, Abraham himself used to carry one of those around when he was a circuit riding lawyer in central Illinois. And one of the show's songs is an old tune that he played during that time called Who's in Johnny. So I performed that on the old Jew's harp itself.
But didn't I hear some of that in Shawneetown?
No, in Shawneetown, you're hearing a couple of different slide guitars.
Ah.
One is a very unusual turn-of-the-century nine-string parlor guitar that has the first three strings, the highest strings, doubled like a 12-string guitar, and the other two are the other three strings are just standard strings. And then the other was a resonator guitar, which is a slightly different one. Now, both of those were guitars that came after the fact. They weren't around when Lincoln was here. Common instruments in Lincoln's day would have been a fiddle. Now, you did hear fiddle in that Shawneetown. It was played by a wonderful musician from down in Carbondale. Later in the show, I do a tune on an 1880s hammer dulcimer, which would have been very well known around Lincoln's era. We know for a fact that those instruments came to Illinois by the late 1700s. And another instrument popular, which I don't play in the show, but I am actually starting to learn a little bit because I'm working up a Stephen Foster show, would have been an old skinhead banjo. One of Lincoln's best friends was a fellow named Ward Hill Lehman, and he used to carry a banjo around on the circuit with Lincoln, and they would play jaw harp and banjo together.
You mentioned Stephen Foster, and I'd like to move next to after I take a little sort of halftime break here, to Hard Times, one of the Stephen Foster songs that's on Abraham Lincoln in Song. But we're about halfway through our program here on Keeping the Faith, and let me just remind listeners, we're talking live by phone with Chris Valillo. His last name is spelled V-A-L-I-L-L-I-L-L-O.
Yeah,
We're talking live by phone with him, but if people would like to call in, 333-9455 is the local number here in the 217 area code number. If you're listening or it's a long-distance call, including online, you may call us 1-800-222-9455. Next week on Keeping the Faith, our guest will be on Easter Sunday, another musical show. Reverend Heidi Weatherford will be our guest, and she will be talking with us and playing some music, recorded music from Brahms' Requiem, a very appropriate way to begin Holy Week for Christians. We also, of course, want to give our best from Keeping the Faith to Jews who will be celebrating Passover and in this time of year. Coming up later in April, we'll be having as a guest the author Helen Frost, talking about her wonderful book, Crossing Stones. That will be on the 18th of April. That's something else to look forward to. Support for Keeping the Faith is provided and has been provided for many years by the University YMCA here at the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign. Coming up at the Y this coming Tuesday, March 30, Carol Armitage, who's the artistic director of Armitage Gone Dance, will be talking about The Three Theories, her newest work. And it'll be premiering at Krannert Center on Tuesday, April 6th, but she'll be talking about it, and maybe there'll be some dancers there too, at noon at the University Y, Tuesday, April 30, as part of the Know Your University series, where the Y has for many decades highlighted what's going on at one part of the university so that people in the other part of this huge place can learn about it. So here we'll be learning about something that's coming up at Krannert on April 6th, but the talk will be on Tuesday noon, this March 30th, at the Y. It's free. You can buy a lunch there, or you can bring a lunch, or simply come and listen to the talk and ask questions. On Wednesday at the Y is a very special program in the evening, March 31st, Courting Justice, a film that deals with seven judges, women judges from South Africa. It's a fascinating film, and it's free at the Y at 7 p.m. This coming Wednesday, March 31st. The Y is located at 1001 South Wright Street. That's the corner of Wright and Chalmers, right across from the now vacant Lincoln Hall, which is being refurbished. At Friday noon at the University Y is Friday Forum, and the one coming up, April 2nd, Madhu Vishwanathan, professor of marketing at the university, will be talking about from subsistence marketplaces to sustainable marketplaces around the world. That's, again, a free lecture, April 2nd at the University YMCA here at the University of Illinois campus, Friday Forum. If you appreciate things, topics we talk about here on Keeping the Faith, you might also enjoy from our sister television station, WILL-TV, 12:30 on Sunday, Religion and Ethics News Weekly. Well, let's get back to our guest. We're talking with Chris Vellillo. Let's talk about this Stephen Foster song, Hard Times. One similarity between the times of Abraham Lincoln and our times is had been a great financial meltdown, although yeah. They wouldn't use that term in his time, before Lincoln became president. And it was indeed hard times across the country, even before the Civil War broke out. Tell us a little bit about Stephen Foster's song.
Well, Hard Times was actually written, I'm going to pull a number off my head here, I think it was 1856, uh-huh. A few years before the Civil War. Interestingly enough, I have heard a version of the story that says he was inspired by reading the books of Dickens, talking about the terrible poverty in England, and that inspired him to write this song, and it became a very, very popular song, a song which, frankly, still resonates, like many of these old songs do, to this very day. When the Civil War actually broke out, it took on a whole new dimension of meaning and became popular on both sides, North and South, as, you know, thousands and thousands and then hundreds and thousands of young men went off to war and died and came back maimed, and the agony of the war dragged on and on and on. It's one of my very favorite pieces of music, and as I said, I think it still rings and resonates so very deeply today.
Well, then let's do listen to from a Stephen Foster composition, Hard Times.
Let us pause pleasures and count its many woes, while we all sup sorrow with the poor. There's a song that will linger forever in our ears. Oh, hard times come again no more. 'Tis a song. With a frail form whose better days are
should be merry. 'Tis crying all the day. Oh, hard times come again no more. 'Tis a song, the sigh of the weary. Hard times come again no more. Many days you have lingered around my cabin door. Oh, hard times come again no and beauty and music light and gay. There are frail forms fainting at the door. Though their voices are silent, their pleading looks still say, oh, hard times come again no more. Is a song, the sigh of the weary. Hard times come again no more. Many days you have lingered around my cabin door. Oh, hard times come again no more.
Chris Villillo from his CD, Abraham Lincoln in Song, which for those of you with computer access, you can find at abrahamlincolninsong.com if you'd like to order the CD. For those of you who don't have computer access, and we've had several people call the station saying they would like information on how they could correspond by mail.
Oh, sure.
What's the best way to do that?
Post Office Box 144. In Macomb, and that is Macomb, Illinois. And the zip is 61455.
Let me repeat that. So that would be Chris Villillo, Valillillo, at Post Office Box 144, Macomb, Illinois, Macomb, Illinois, 61455. And Chris, you are available to perform your one-man show and other things. And if people want to learn about that, should they go to your chrisvalillo.com website?
Yeah, and actually that's the same as the Lincoln in Song website. I have both URLs going to the same site.
And for people who would like to call you, is there a number, phone number they could use?
Absolutely. They can reach me at area code 309-833-4838.
All right, let me repeat that. That's Chris Valillo, whose phone is 309-833-4838. And if you've missed any of this information and have access to a computer, you can listen to this program in about a week. It'll be in the archives here at will.illinois.edu, along with all the other locally produced programs, Focus 580, Afternoon Magazine, and so on. So if you'd like to hear this program again, that's one way to do it. But there are, of course, we're only going to get to play four or five of these songs, and there are 13 just on this one CD. So you would want to get that if you want to hear the whole thing.
Yeah.
Chris, you will be performing soon in Danville, Illinois, I know. Is it April 9th?
I'll be performing at April 9th in Danville. Now, I won't be doing the Abraham Lincoln and Song show there.
What will you be doing?
I'm actually working with the Smithsonian Institution. There is a traveling exhibit on roots music, which is a modern term that's used for all kinds of old music, folk music, ethnic music, blues, gospel, which was a very, very big part of old-time music. And the Smithsonian has a traveling exhibit that's going all across the country. In Illinois, we're getting it this year, and it'll go to six sites. And I'm the state scholar for that, so I perform at the opening event for each of those six sites. And Danville is one of the sites. As a matter of fact, the opening site in Illinois, and their opening event is April the 9th. And it'll take place from 6 to 9 p.m. They're going to have a buffet supper, opening of the exhibit. There will be a high school jazz band playing while they just open things up, and then I'll perform sometime around, say, 7:30. Folks can learn more about that by calling the Danville Museum. I have their phone number here, if that would help.
Sure, go ahead.
That's area code 217-442-2922.
And is that a free program?
This is actually a ticketed event because they are doing it as an opening event for the Smithsonian Institution. New Harmonies Tour is the name of that exhibit. I believe the tickets are about $25, but that does include the supper and the opening tour events and everything. Now, if folks don't have the wherewithal to make it to that event, the exhibit will be up for 6 weeks there at the museum in Danville, and it's definitely worth seeing.
And again, the name of the museum?
I was looking here. And it's not actually the Danville Museum. Give me just a second here,
sure.
And I will come up with that.
Well, let me repeat the phone number for folks who'd like to inquire about tickets for that performance April 9th. It's in Danville. You can call Danville 217-442-2922.
Okay, here we go. It's actually the Vermilion County Museum,
sure.
And that's 116 North Gilbert Street, which is really not too far at all off Highway 74,
right
there in Danville. And it's an outstanding museum. I've been very, very impressed as I've had the opportunity to work with them.
So that's Chris Valillo performing April 9th, 2010. I'll say that because these programs stay in the archives forever.
There you go.
So.
And folks can also go to my website to get a list of performance dates. I do know I'll be performing at the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Museum on July the 24th.
Oh, how nice.
So that's probably a good opportunity to see the show nearby.
And that's in Springfield.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed.
July 24th. How did you become a singer?
I'd never remember a time I didn't want to sing. And, of course, my first singing experiences were in church as a young child. And I remember that I loved to sing what I used to call the sour parts, the harmony parts. And I would sing as loud as I possibly could. And I knew I was doing a good job because the minister would be out. He would constantly look at me when I was singing. So I knew that I must have been doing very, very well.
What kind of a church was it?
I was raised Catholic.
Uh-huh.
So we would have been going to a Catholic church at the time. I moved around my whole life, so I never really had the experience of being raised in one congregation. My father was a civil engineer, and so every 3 or 4 years, my entire life, we moved all over the place.
What different states did you live in?
I was born in Hammond, Indiana, although my folks lived in Paxton before I was born, here in Illinois. Then we moved to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Hamilton, Ohio, Flint, Michigan, Newcastle, Pennsylvania, Rochester, New York, Buffalo, New York, and then I went off to college and they moved to Chicago.
Did you sing at various schools?
I always sang in choir, always sang in church choirs. Any sense of music and theory, I'm essentially self-taught, that I have came from those experiences. It was always something that I was very drawn to, but never really thought was an appropriate way to make a living.
So how did you fall into it?
Well, you know, my actual career wasn't to be a musician. My college career was to be an archaeologist. And I got my degree in archaeology. And,
where?
At Beloit College up in southern Wisconsin. And ended up working at Western Illinois University here in Macomb as my very first job. And I worked for about 3 years on and off at Western, and you'd have very short-term contracts. You'd work for a couple of months or a couple of weeks. You'd be laid off. Then you'd get hired back on again. After about 3 years of this, I was quite frustrated with the process and decided that while I was still young, I wanted to do the thing that I truly loved, try to make a living playing music. I was going to give it a year. If I could pay the bills, you know, I had no illusions of grandeur, mind you.
Were you single, married?
I was single. Oh, yeah. That was one of the things. You know, I could get away with this because it was a wonderful thing being a starving artist. I was quite excited by it. So I was late to get married, but at that point, my life was stable enough that I was able to actually provide for a family then. But it was a very exciting time.
Tell us about some of the other music you performed besides Abraham Lincoln in Song.
Well, I do a lot of original music. As I said when we started the show, my particular muse, the thing that kind of excites me artistically, is the rural Midwest. I love small town and rural life. I think we have a quality of life here in the Midwest that people talk about in major urban centers, but we really enjoy. So a lot of the songs that I have written over the years have an old-time feel to them. You know, my music was inspired by people like Doc Watson and Mississippi John Hurt. I do a lot of fingerstyle stuff and such. So it sounds sort of an old-time folky type of a song, but the themes that I write about have been the history of the area, the people I've met in the area, just the places of the rural Midwest. I've also been involved doing what's called music collecting, where my skills as an archaeologist came into play, and I was actually hired by the Illinois Arts Council and the Library of Congress to go out and interview the last people in the 1980s that had been born in the 1880s before television and radio. And then a lot of that old music got incorporated into the music I perform. So, you know, on any given show, I could do a combination of songs that I've written, songs that were sung in Illinois 100 years ago, and maybe some of these songs that Abraham Lincoln might have known. So it's really been a very rewarding experience for me personally, and hopefully folks enjoy it as well.
We're talking with Chris Vellillo, and we're playing music from Abraham Lincoln in Song, a recent CD of his that comes out of his one-man show. Listeners may call in with questions or comments. 1-800-222-9455 is a toll-free number from anywhere the program is heard, including online. If you're in Champaign-Urbana, you might use a local number, 333-9455. Our engineer, Kyle Crowe, will answer the phone and put you in line to be live on the air with our guest, Chris Vellillo. In Abraham Lincoln's time, Chris, of course, the Civil War was raging, and the country was fighting among itself. Many people, as you say, were wounded and dying, and it affected almost every family in the country. In the U.S. today, we have two wars going on in Afghanistan and Iraq. Did that show up in the music of the time of Abraham Lincoln?
Well, it certainly did. A great deal of the the music of that era reflects this struggle and this pull and tug of the nation as it's going, you know, heading towards the war, and then as it goes into the war itself. For instance, leading into the war, there's a whole series of songs that were abolitionist songs. That was music written to get across the idea that slavery was evil and a terrible thing.
It should be abolished, yeah.
Yeah. I did one of the songs, Darlin' Nellie Gray, that was sung at that time in the show. Ironically enough, I first learned that song when I was collecting music in the 1980s from folks along the Illinois River Valley that were still singing it 130 years after the song was written. When you get into the Civil War, one of my very favorite songs is a song called We Are Coming, Father Abram, which had been written in direct response to Lincoln's first call for 300,000 volunteers, which happened in one of the darkest times in the war. By 1862, the Union hadn't won a single battle. Abraham and Mary had lost their little boy, Willie, to the typhoid fever. And Lincoln makes this call asking the nation to support this war effort at a time when it really looks dismal. And it's this song that was written in direct response to his call. And, you know, it's the concept of We Are Coming, Father Abram, where Lincoln is this personal father figure to the country. And you begin to see that relationship he's building with the people of the North.
Chris, I think we would have time to play that song, We Are Coming, Father Abraham. Anything else you want to say about it before we do?
I will tell you just one quick anecdote. They tell me that this song was sung to Abraham Lincoln in Gettysburg as he stood in the balcony of his hotel by a group of Union soldiers the night before he gave the Gettysburg Address.
Let's listen.
Coming, Father Abram, 600,000 more from Mississippi's winding streams and from New England's shore. We leave our plows and workshops, our wives and children dear, with hearts too full for utterance, but with a single tear. We dare not look behind us, but steadfastly before. We are coming, Father Abram, 600,000 more. We are coming, coming, our Union to restore. We are coming, Father Abram, 600,000 more. If you look across our hilltops that meet the northern skies, long moving lines of rising dust your vision may descry. And now the wind and instant tears a cloudy veil aside and floats aloft our spangled flag in glory and in pride. And bannets in the sunlight gleam and bands brave music pour. We are coming, Father Abram, 600,000 more. We are coming, coming, our Union to restore. We are coming, Father Abram, 600,000 more. See our sturdy farmer boys fast forming into line, and children at their mother's knees are pulling apple weeds and learning how to reap and sow against the country's needs. And a farewell group stands weeping at every cottage door. We are coming, Father Abram, 600,000 more.
I'm going to cut that out there, Chris, because we are getting close to the end of the time, and I do want to play at least a snatch of one more, Let the Band Play Dixie. Tell us why that's important to the time of Abraham Lincoln
song.
And how it shows a real moment of grace.
You know, as I was trying to write this show, one of the biggest issues I faced was how do you end a show about Abraham Lincoln when you know that the end of the story is his assassination? And I found this song that was written by the great folk song musician and songwriter Bob Gibson. And it was written about a true incident that took place the day the war ended. Lincoln broke the news of Lee's surrender to the crowds in Washington with a simple gesture, a gesture of reconciliation, a gesture of welcoming the brothers back into the family of the nation, and he did it by having the White House band perform the song Dixie. And I have always felt that that moment is a crystallization of Abraham Lincoln, the man, the peacemaker.
Let's stop right there and listen to Chris Vellillo from his CD, Abraham Lincoln in Song. Let the band play Dixie.
The word was run from Richmond in that fading April sun. Lee had handed Grant his sword, and the war was finally won. Into the streets the people spilled, feeling the excitement build as the crowd around the White House milled, asking, was it true? It's finally done. Inside White House, Lincoln heard them calling out his name. Sat there wondering what to say to ease their years of pain. Someone yelled, come out the door and tell us what you've got in store for the rebels who have lost the war. So out onto the porch, Abe Lincoln came. Said, we are gathered not in anger, but in celebration. Let's be grateful we are once again a single nation. Let's stand together reassured. Now that peace has been secured, our nation's illness can be cured. And I suggest the overture for this occasion. He said, let the band play Dixie.
We're going to have to stop there to hear the rest of the song. You'll need to get the CD, Abraham Lincoln in Song.com, or by mail, P.O. Box 144, Macomb, Illinois, 61455. Thank you, Chris Vellillo, for being with us. We are out of time. Thanks for listening to Keeping the Faith.
You've been listening to Keepin' the Faith, a production of WILL AM 580. The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the participants.